Well, today we're kicking off a new series that we're going to be spending the rest of this year and into the Christmas season talking about the God of Hope. Really excited about this. You know, it's been said that we can go up to 40 days without food. Now, I can tell you, and you can surely see this in me, I've never tested that theory. As you can tell by looking at me, I've never gone 40 days without food. I imagine many people in this room have as well. But as they say, we can go up to 40 days without food. But we can only go 3 days without water. Isn't that amazing? We can go 40 days without food, but we can only go 3 days without water. And they say if we're really, really stretching it, we can maybe make it up to 8 minutes without air. But let me tell you today, we can't make it 1 second without hope. We can't make it 1 second in our life without hope. And today, you know, I believe there's people in this room that maybe your tank is empty on hope. And so today I want to talk to you about the thought, fill your hope tank. Fill your hope tank. How many has ever ran out of gas before in your car? Anybody ran out of gas in your car? Isn't that a fun experience? Bring up these gauges here. You know, I think many of us here, how many here, this first picture up to the top left, this first gauge, as that gauge gets to about a quarter of a tank, you're already pulling into the gas station to fill back up. Anybody here, that's you? You get about a quarter tank? Yeah? Look at those people who say, we don't like you. No. Always planning ahead. Always thinking ahead. Usually those people have ran out of gas before. If they had to call somebody for help or push that car or walk for gas, they're like, I ain't making that mistake again. Others are kind of like the gas gauge to the right. You know, you don't wait till it gets on empty, but you flirt around kind of in between a quarter of a tank and empty. So you're about a 1/8 of a tank there. Anybody here, that's more like your speed. You're about, you know, you take it down, yeah. How many will admit today you're more like the bottom left hand? That you ride that E just as long as possible. Come on, you know, payday's on Friday. I speak over this gauge in the name of Jesus. God, you turn the water into wine. You can make this fuel go an extra day in Jesus' name. You people like to live on the edge, don't you? Just how far can I coast in? How far can I take it? You know, today, this is really the picture of many of our lives. That I believe today that our hope tank, the gauge of our hope tank is right there. It's getting close to being on E. And if we're not careful, see, there's a danger when our hope gets on E. There's a danger when our hope tank begins to get down. Because, see, hope to the human spirit is like fuel to the car. It's what keeps us going. It's what gauges us. It's what fuels us, what powers us. Without hope, we have no power. Without hope, we have no life. Without hope, our engine ain't running. And so we need hope. We need hope to fill our life. Your life, you cannot run without hope. We can't run without hope. If we're being honest today, we see this and realize that this season is probably a lot of seasons of people really running low on hope. I mean, naturally they tell us this time of the year when the time changes that it gets dark earlier and people who suffer with depression get kind of more suffering with this. That's because they come off of work and it's already dark and they can suffer with depression even at a greater level. Maybe it's the holiday season. Maybe you've lost somebody. Maybe you lost someone close to you. Maybe someone who passed away. Maybe you was going through a divorce or whatever it is you feel like you've gone through. I do not want to face the holiday season now. It becomes a tough season because of all the past memories, and the thought of not having that person to share it with can be very tough. And if we're not careful, we can allow our hope to be gone. You know, there's a lot of other things still in our hope as well. I mean, boy, you turn on politics today and that'll steal your hope really fast, won't it? Or you turn on and see race tensions going everywhere. That'll kind of steal your hope. You see social media and all the things going out there, whether it's fake news or news, whatever it is. It's out there. And you want to get depressed, spend about 15 minutes on social media, and that's all you need right there, right? I mean, they're talking about taking hope from you. So if you're not careful, If you don't do what is required to fill your hope tank, other things are going to take it from you. And when you're running on empty with hope, it changes your perspective. It changes things. Rejection can steal your hope. Rejection can, when you're rejected, it steals your hope. When you're disappointment, it steals your hope. See, when our hope tank gets low, it's a dangerous force. Really, what's happening today, I believe in the spirit, is there's a check engine light coming on. There's a caution light coming on saying, careful, caution, caution, caution. And when our hope tank's getting close to being empty, what's happening? Our caution, our spirit says, you know what? That's a dangerous place for me to live. It's a dangerous place. I can't make sound decisions when I don't have hope. I can't see clearly when I don't have hope. I can't think clearly when I don't have hope. I've got to have hope. We lose perspective. We can lose perspective on an empty hope tank. When your hope tank's empty, man, you can lose perspective really fast. Things seem a lot more dangerous. Things seem a lot more toxic. Things seem a lot more out of control when we don't have hope. But it's up to us to say, you know what? I need my hope tank filled. I got to keep it there. See, hope brings renewed faith. Hope brings optimism. Hope allows you to look past the obstacle in front of you. Hope allows you to look past the valley and see the mountaintop ahead of you. Hope allows you to go beyond your pain. Hope allows you to dream again. See, we got to have hope. And today we're going to look. Peter was a great disciple, and he really had a lot to say about hope. And if anybody was qualified to talk to us about hope, it was old Pete, you know. Think about Pete. He was a personal intern, disciple of Jesus, walking around, being taught firsthand, eyewitness of teachings, of listening, being taught, seeing the miracles, only to get right to the very end. And Jesus say, Pete, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, I would never do that. I love you way too much. And, of course, what happens? He denies Christ. So here he is doing the one thing he said he wouldn't do. He does to Jesus, the one he loves the most. He sees his Savior crucified, beaten, nailed to a cross, dying. Talk about hope lost. In a 24-hour period, he went from being a disciple to an outcast, seeing all hope lost in his life, but only to witness the resurrection later, only to have Jesus come to him and restore him back as a disciple later, and bring him back into ministry and speak over him. So if anybody is qualified to talk to us about hope lost and then hope restored, it's Pete. And I love what Pete had to say to us here today. It's where we're going to spend all of our time today in 1 Peter. And I love what verse 2 says. Look what it says. Pete says, God the Father, he knew you and he chose you long ago. And his spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Listen, God knew you and he chose you. God knew you and he chose you. Let me say it this way. God knew you and he still chose you. Think about that. He knew in advance that I was going to be a bonehead. He knew in advance I wasn't going to be perfect. He knew in advance that I had some problems in my life. He knew in advance that I had some trouble in my life. He knew in advance who I was. But yet, he still chose me. Which brings me to my first point. Write this down today. You want to fill your hope tank up? You got to learn to reject rejection. Reject your rejection. Let's be honest. Rejection hurts. It hurts. And we've all been rejected at some point. Maybe by someone who loved us. Maybe by a job we didn't get. Maybe by somebody who should have been there for us and they wasn't there. Whatever it is, we've all gone through seasons of rejection in our life. And it hurts. Matter of fact, research tells us now that the emotion of rejection uses the same neurological pathways that physical pain uses to go to our brain. goes through our brain, tells us, oh, that hurts. The brain sends out the waves and say, hey, you're in pain. Your body is in pain. It tells us now that those same pathways are the same pathways that we use when we feel rejection. So much that we can actually now, they say it's actually possible to feel physical pain when you have rejection. That's why you hear people say when they go through rejection, I feel like someone just punched me in the gut. I feel like someone just ran me over with a truck. And we're like, oh, you'll get over it. No, it hurts. Let's be honest. Rejection hurts. And there actually is physical pain that can come with rejection. I'm going to tell you a story. I can say it now because I'm better. But I told my staff the story, and they laughed at me for a while, and we had a good joke about it. But a couple months ago, I was awoken in the middle of the night, and I was turning some lights off in the house, and I saw a security light come on outside my house. And I looked out there to see what was going on, and I saw somebody trying to open the doors of our cars, trying to see if our cars were unlocked, obviously trying to break into our cars. And so I broke into my Rambo mode, Dad, you know, right away. In my mind, I still think, Chris, I'm 25, you know. So I'm like, I'm gonna. This guy is messing with the wrong cars. I'm going to show him the love of God in a physical way right now. So I open my door. I'm in a pair of shorts, and I have some socks on. Don't take time. I just see him taking off running, and I take off in a dead sprint after him. And he takes off running behind our privacy fence, and I take off around our driveway in a full sprint. And I go to turn the turn around my car to go after him. And when I do, my slick socks go whoosh. And I went shoulder first into the front bumper of my car. I'm like, oh, God, that was dumb. And I get up and go, okay, my arm, I don't think it's broke. I'm in a lot of pain. What's going on? And I'll look down at my shoulders down about here. I'm like, okay, I've seen the movies. You know, and I'm trying to pop it back in. It doesn't go back in. And I'm going, ah! I was in a lot of physical pain. And so finally I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to get, you know. So I go upstairs and wake my wife up. Hey, you know, take me to the emergency room. I knock my shoulder out. Just take me to the emergency room. I got to get there. And she's like, what happened? What happened? I'm like, just get me to the emergency room. I don't want to tell you the whole story. I'm hurting. Just get me. What? Tell me what happened. So I tell her, short as I could, so I'll tell you no more. Just get me into the car. We got to go. And she gets up and starts doing her makeup and her hair. And I'm holding my arm like this. Hurry up! I was in pain. We go to the emergency room. They have to put me to sleep and pop it right back in. And I was good. It was a lot of pain, you know, and it took me a little while to get over that. But now I can look back and I can talk about that and laugh. And when I remember that, it doesn't hurt. When I remember that, my shoulders started hurting again all of a sudden now. Hey, I remember when I did that. No, I that pain left me, and now it's just a memory. But I can go back and talk about a time, Chris, when someone hurt me and rejected me, and it feels like it just happened. That pain is right there. It feels fresh. See, this is why we have to reject your rejection. Because if not, it'll dominate your life with pain. It will dominate your thoughts. It keeps you a prisoner there. And it keeps you not living your life full of hope. So we got to learn to reject that. See, we got to learn that God has called us to reject that rejection and realize I have been chosen. And others may reject me, but that's okay because God already knew me and chose me anyway. God has chosen me. God has chosen you. And no matter who rejects you in your life, you know this. You have been chosen by God Himself. Not because of your performance. Not because of anything good you've done or bad you've done. He chose you. He knew you. And He chose you anyway. So it allows me to say, you know what? people are going to reject me in my life. I'm going to have that, but I'm okay because I know God has chosen me. God knew me and He chose me anyway. It brings a place of freedom in our life. See, when you allow rejection to dominate you, it causes you to slip into isolation. It causes you to build up walls. It causes you to stop loving. It causes you to stop trusting again. It causes you to close yourself off. What do you got to do? You got to reject that and realize I have been chosen of God. No matter who else may reject me, God Himself chose me. Look what verses 3 and 5 say about this. I love this because now Peter really starts to, now listen, Peter really starts to get his preach on right here. You know, I got to get my hanky out for this one, okay? Come on. He said, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not just saying this. Think about it. He is getting his preach on right now. Praise be to God. Come on now. He said, and my Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in His great mercy. Peter just comes right now. He says, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Hope is not dead. It's alive in your life. If you've been chosen of God, you have a living hope living inside of you. It is not dead. Why? Because it's living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as an inheritance to us now, it will never perish. It will never perish. It will never perish. It will never die. It will never decay. It will never spoil. It will never fade. Our hope is a living hope today. Hope is not dead in your life. Hope is alive. And so if you're living with your tank empty today with hope, no. God did not design you to live that way. You have a living hope. It comes through your relationship with Jesus Christ. This inheritance is for us today. It's a living hope with great expectation. Our hope is beyond the reach of decay. It doesn't expire. It's the hope we have. Pete reminds us we are chosen. We are chosen for God's favor. We are chosen for God's blessing. We are chosen for God's provision. We are chosen for God's goodness. We are chosen for God's faithfulness. We are chosen for God's provision in our life. We are chosen for God's hope in our life. It's a living hope. Tell somebody right now, you are chosen. You're chosen. I'm chosen. You're chosen. He chose us no matter what we go through, no matter what you're feeling. Begin to fill your life up on hope today. Let me tell you this right now. Rejection is not your final story. Rejection is not your final story. Listen, stop letting people put a period in your life where God wants to put a comma. We need to say that one more time because you didn't say amen loud enough on that one right there. Let me tell you right now, we need to stop putting the period in our life where God wants to put a comma. And even though you're going through a tough season, even though you're going through rejection, you've been chosen and it's a living hope in your life. It's alive. It's not dead. Hope is alive in your life. It's not dead. Don't let the enemy come in and rob you. You've been chosen of God. You have a living hope inside of you, alive. It's calling me out for my rejection. Rejection is not my final story. And number two, if I want to fill my tank, I got to see God's hand in my hardship. See God's hand in your hardship. You know, we believe a lot of myths in life, don't we? There's a lot of myths out there. One of the myths we believe is that we only use 10% of our brain. You know, we've heard that. We've quoted before. You only use 10% of your brain, son. And I think you're only using about half of that. Ever been there? Now they tell us that we actually use close up to 20-25% of our brain, and sometimes over half of our left side of our brain. So, I mean, new science is coming out and it's saying that now we're using a lot more of our brain than we actually think we are. That's a myth. We don't just use 10% of our brain. You know, another myth is this, is that lightning doesn't strike the same place twice, right? How many people have heard that myth? You know, that's so untrue. I was watching a video the other day a guy got, I was on security camera, got struck by lightning. He falls down. He's like out for like a minute and a half. And then he gets up and is stumbling, trying to get back on his feet and walk away. And boom, it hits him again. True story. Don't do it right now, but you can look it up on YouTube. Guy gets hit by lightning twice. It's all over the video. You can see it there. Don't do it while I'm preaching, okay? Some of you can't wait to see that video. Same guy gets hit by lightning twice. You know, the Empire State Building gets hit over 100 times a year, they say, by lightning. So that's a myth. Lightning can strike the same place twice. You know, in our own life, we believe myths that aren't true. We have myths in our life that aren't true that we just got to get through. But the problem is this. When hope, your hope tank is low, you'll believe myths about God that aren't true. You'll believe myths. Look at some of these things that we believe. When our hope tank is low, we believe that God doesn't really care for me. God doesn't really care. If God really cared, then why am I going through this pain? Why am I going through this rejection? He doesn't understand me. He doesn't care for me. And as we talked about in Jesus the Carpenter, yes, he does. He understands every bit of pain your body is going through. He understands every bit of rejection it feels to be rejected by those closest to you. He understands what it is to have family reject you. He understands what it is to have your closest friends reject you. He understands. And God does care. But the enemy tells us that it's a myth. God doesn't really care about you. You also believe the myth this, that the presence of pain in my life means the absence of God. If I have emotional pain or I have physical pain in my life, then God's not near to me. God's not drawing near to me. No way, no way, no way. It's pain. See, when your hope is getting low, you'll believe that lie. God said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. And sometimes it's even in the middle of our pain that he draws the closest to us. But see, a myth is that because pain's there, he's not there. Another myth is this: God is mad at me. God's really mad at me. Really, he is? Let me tell you this. God is not mad at you. Let me say it again. God is not mad at you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you. God will never love you any more than he does at this moment right now. I don't care what you're doing or what you're going through in your life or what you've done in your past. God will never love you any more than he loves you at this exact moment right now. And if I accept him, he's not going to love me any more than he does right now. If I make him my Lord and Savior, he's still not going to love me any more than he does right now. His love for me is unconditional. And God is not mad at me. But when you're losing your hope, you think that. Look at this other one. My pain is permanent. My pain is permanent. See, when we're going through pain, we think, man, I'm never going to get past this pain. I'm never going to get past this painful moment in my life. I'm never going to get past this hurt and rejection. I'm never going to get past this physical pain. I'm never going to get past it. And so we allow ourselves to have these lies that this pain is going to last forever. And then you have someone who's older in your life who will tell you, like I've had older people in my life tell me, this too shall pass. Anyone ever heard that before? You know, when I'm going through pain, and especially when I was younger, and they would tell me, this too shall pass. You know what I would say? No, it won't! I'm hurting. It is not going to pass. Ugh. Lies, Stephen. These are lies. These are lies, man. This pain isn't going to pass. Hurting. But see, when your hope's low, you can't receive that. When your hope's low, you can't see that. So that's why it's important we keep our hope filled back up so that we don't allow these negative things. You know, listen, God is wanting to fill you full of hope. Look what verses 6 and 7 say. Now he's teaching us how to respond, okay? He's teaching how to respond. If your hope tank is low, look what Pete says now. So be truly glad. Truly glad. Not fake glad. Come on, we're pretty good about that one, right? I put on my smiley face for you. I'm good. Yeah, everything's good. No, it's not. Behind the scenes, like, no, it's not. No, he says, don't be fake. but truly, truly, truly be glad. Why? There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. We'll get to that statement in just a minute, a little while. But what he's saying is simply this, that there is joy ahead. So you can be in a state of going through a problem, of going through something really hard, but I can truly be glad because I know that it's just ahead. Joy is just ahead. Joy is just ahead. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies the gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day which Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Now, Peter is telling us right now to truly be glad. Joy is ahead. Hardship, he says, is like the purifying of gold in our life. And when they purify gold, we realize this, that when they dig for gold and they take it, they purify it by putting it in the fire. And they turn the fire up to over 2,000 degrees. And as that fire heats up and that gold is put in there, all the imperfections and impurities will rise to the top. Anything that's not gold, pure gold, will actually rise to the top. And then when that happens, they just scrape it off. And the only thing left is 100% pure gold. But that comes through the fire. And he says, we can truly be glad. Joy is ahead. Because what's happening is this, is that God is taking this fire and he's doing something on the inside of us. He's taking this heat and he's transforming us. He's purifying us. Why? Because that eventually he's going to bring your praise back. He's going to give you glory back. He's going to give you honor back and restore that. But through a time, you got to go through the fire. See, listen to me. God doesn't waste the heat in our lives. God doesn't waste the heat in our life. He uses it. He may not have caused it. We may have caused it ourselves. We may have brought it on to ourselves. But he will not waste it if we will just simply say, God, I'm putting my trust in you. God, I'm truly glad because even though I'm going through the fire right now, I know joy is waiting on me in the next season. I know, God, you've already got a plan in my next season. And so I allow it to happen and I allow God to remake me, to reshape me, to get me ready. See, it allows my next season to be ready. And Pete said, hold on for just a little while. Come on, say this. Say, hold on in just a little while. No, you didn't say it. You got to say it with me. Come on, I need you to get your best preacher voice you got because I'm about to preach mine out, okay? Say it with me. Say, hold on in a little while. See, in a little while. This is what he said. This is why I can truly be glad. Because the heat is only going to last for a little while. He said this, hold on. The fear you're facing, it's only going to last for a little while. Hold on. The trouble you're facing, it's only going to last in a little while. Hold on. That job situation, in a little while, it's going to change. Hold on. That marriage that you're having problems with, in a little while, that thing's going to change. Hold on. Your family can be restored. Hold on. That pain is going to leave. Hold on. I'm going to heal your heart. Hold on. Hold on. See, we don't lose faith. We know we let our hope tank be filled back up, knowing that God, in just a little while, I can see through my pain. I can see through my rejection. I can see through what I'm going through right now. And I see through the valley. And I see through the dark tunnel that there's a new season waiting for you. And there's a new season waiting for me. And it assists that if we just hold on in just a little while, to those who don't give up, to those who hang on, God is going to bring us through the fire. And he's going to allow us to walk in the new season. Listen to me. God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. In just a little while. Some of you are here and you're thinking, Pastor, I'm so upset. I've been praying for my kid. I took my kid to church and I got him ready for church. And I had him in the house of the Lord and I've been praying. They haven't been serving God and I see them out doing things and they're going crazy and I'm about to give up. I'm telling you, just hold on in a little while. Come on, some of you have been giving up on your marriage. I'm saying, don't give up. Just a little while, God can do a miracle. In just a little while, God can get you through this season. In just a little while. Come on, let your hope arise today. If you believe that, put your hands together and give God of hope a hand clap today. In just a little while, hope is being restored. In just a little while, God is going to bring the healing. In just a little while, the sun is going to rise again. In just a little while, gladness is going to come back to your house. In just a little while, unity is coming back. In just a little while, provision is going to be brought your way. In just a little while, a new job will appear. In just a little while, healing is going to take place. In just a little while, don't lose hope. It's a living hope. It's not dead. In just a little while, I'm here to prophesy to you. God brought you here today to hear this message. Living hope is inside of you. Do not give up. In just a little while, God has got a new season for you. And He's taking you through the fire because He's changing you. He's preparing you for the new season. And the last thing I want you to get today, write this down. You want to fill your hope tank up, then you got to learn to lean on the ultimate hope. Learn to lean on the ultimate hope. What is ultimate hope? Well, I will tell you this. What's not ultimate hope? Putting your trust in the Chiefs is not ultimate hope. Every season, they just seem to disappoint me, Darren. I don't know. You know, it's funny because every start of every season, you know, you may have had the worst team, but draft comes along, you draft one player. We're going to the playoffs, baby. Hope's restored, you know? Only to have it shattered year after year. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we put hopes in teams, sometimes we put hopes in our job. We put hopes in our relationship. We put hope in material things that are only decay and fade away. We put hope in the stock market, which is going to go up and down. We have no control of that. It's going to go up and down. See, if you put your hope in the wrong things, you're in trouble. How do I build my hope up? I got to lean on ultimate hope. What is some ultimate hope things? Let me just give you. Here's a few things just to give you this morning. Number one, God is good and He is for me. God is good and He is for me. Isn't that a common thing that we've seen all the way through the Father series? As we talked about the Father. The Father is good. You can bank on this. You can count on this. God is good, and He is for me. I'm not going to read this, but you can write that down if you want to look it up later. Psalms 136, verse 1, backs that up. God is good, and He is for me. Let me give you another hope today. God is with me always, and He's strengthening me. He's with me, and He's strengthening me. Matthew 28, 20. God is with me. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He says if we call upon Him, He will draw near to us. Today, I want you to know that God is with you, and God is strengthening you. God is with me always, and He's strengthening me. That's a solid truth I put my life upon. Look at this next truth. God will bring good results out of the bad things that happen in my life. Listen, God will bring good results out of the bad things that happen in my life. Romans 8:28 backs this up. No matter what I go through, the Bible says that all things, all things, not some things, not just the good things, that means even the bad things, God will cause to work together for good in my life for those who trust Him. And so I can truly be glad even in my heart season. I can truly be glad even when hope is getting a little bit low. I can truly be glad. Why? Because I know in just a little while, in just a little while, God's going to restore honor, praise. And just a little while, God's going to cause the bad things that were meant to destroy me. God's going to use those to refine me, to make me stronger, to give me a stronger testimony, to resource me differently, to cause my mind to be thinking differently, to cause my relationships to change, to change my perspective, to change my actions, to change my attitude. And God puts me through the fire, and he allows me. Why? Because he'll bring good out of even the bad things. That's the ultimate thing I hang on to. That's ultimate hope. We can count on this. Look at this next one. Nothing. Nada. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Romans 8:38 and verse 39. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Isn't that amazing today? We feel sometimes like we're a long ways from God's love. God, you're over there, and I'm over here in pain. Nothing separates me from God's love. God, you're over there, and I'm going through the fire. Nothing can separate me from God's love. God, I'm suffering rejection. I'm hurting. Nothing can separate me from God's love. It's the ultimate hope that I have, and you have today. We're not separated from the love of God. So therefore, I can reject rejection. I can hold strong through the fire. I put my faith in ultimate hope today, knowing that God's in control of my life. Today, fill up your tank with hope. God, listen, how do you do that? Let me summarize this whole sermon up to this one statement. God has got me. God's got me. God's got me. Through the ups, through the downs, through the highs, through the lows, through the hard times, through the great times, God, you have me. That's where my hope is at. And when I learn to say, I'm going to continue to fill my life up with hope, God, I'm gonna allow my hope tank to be filled back up. It changes my perspective. It changes my attitude. It changes my actions. It allows me to begin to see the next mountaintop. It allows me to begin to see the next season. It allows me to begin to see the next place he has for me. This place is not permanent. It's a place of traveling through that God's refining some things in my life. Remember, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. Simply this. If you died today, would you make heaven your home? Some of you here today, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life. You may never made a personal decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I promise you, we won't do anything to embarrass you or to point you out, but we want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. If you're here, the first place the hope starts is right here. This is the first foundation we must have to have sustaining hope is that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed that prayer before, you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ. No one's looking but me. Can you raise your hand and say, it's me? I'm ready to make him my Savior. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. If you haven't raised it, raise it one more time right now. If you haven't raised it yet, say, that's my day. My day to accept Jesus. Raise it right now. This is what's going to happen. For those of you who raised your hands today, we want you to say this prayer out loud. I'll say it for you. Repeat after me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand. Yeah. It's an exciting decision. If you prayed that prayer today, we invite you to stop by our welcome center to my left, right in the back. as you leave. We got a free Bible and some things we'd love to give you, next steps. This is our gift today to let you know we believe in you, and we'd love to have you planted in a home church. If you don't have one, please get planted in a home church. We'd love to have you here. If you have one, go back and tell somebody, I gave my heart to Jesus. What do I need to do next? I want you to stand on your feet today. How many of you are honest? Say, Pastor, if I'm being completely honest, this message was just for me today. Anybody here? Yeah. Come on, raise your hand. But you, let's just say, yeah. I can tell you, the first service, the place was flooded with people raising their hands. Pastor, you're preaching right to me. My tank is getting really close to eat. This is what we're going to do today. We're going to close with this song. It's an upbeat song. Just declaring out of our heart how great our God is. And I want you to make a declaration that, God, I'm going to allow my hope tank to get restored. I'm going to start putting my hope back in the ultimate hope of Jesus Christ. I'm going to start leaning on the ultimate hope, rejecting fear, rejecting words, rejecting rejection, and say, you know what? I'm allowing God to fill my hope that I can see differently. In just a little while, my circumstances are going to change. In just a little while, things are going to get better. In just a little while, God, you're bringing me out. In just a little while, my attitude's changing. Declare it in faith today as we declare God's goodness today. Let's sing it together. Put your hands together. You believe that? Receive that word today? Can I pray for you today? I want you just to open up your hands to the Lord. Say, Father, as we open up our hands to you, I pray that, Father, you are filling us with hope today. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a past hope, but it's a present hope, a living hope inside of us. And I pray right now you begin to pour out fresh hope in the lives of every believer here today. Lord, I prophesy over them today that, God, their hope is being restored. Hope is being restored. Hope is being restored in Jesus' name. And throughout this whole series, it's going to rise every week. It's going to get full and full and more full. God, you're going to bring it up to the top. God, you're going to fill us with a living hope at the life that, Father, we can be ready to be people of honor and praise. That, God, you can use us. And God, I thank you that, God, you have not left us. But, God, you are with us, loving us, filling us with your hope. In Jesus' name, one more time, put your hands together and give God a praise. Amen. Now, before I dismiss you, listen to me. A couple of quick things. First of all, don't forget to take this in the middle section and to my left. Don't forget, we're going to stack those chairs up. You guys on the right, you got lucky today. You sit in the right spot. The second thing is this. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and make sure you eat some pumpkin pie from me, okay? God bless you. We love you. Enjoy the rest of your week.